Today is the fourth and final Sunday of the season of Advent in the Christian year. This is a season in which we spend time preparing and awaiting for the arrival of Christ. And we do things in our sanctuary to do that. We have four candles that have been lit here, signifying the four Sundays. We have lots of banners around. Each week you may have noticed that more get added each week, and so the whole wall is filled with banners now. We have our nativity scene that Roseanne has painted for us, and it looks almost complete, doesn't it? We have many of the characters up there, of course, awaiting for the arrival of Christ on Christmas Eve. We are just about there. It is almost Christmas. And today we turn to the shepherds as the characters from the Christmas story that we'll look at. I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of experience with sheep. I did not grow up on a farm. Did anybody here grow up on a farm? A few folks maybe? Yeah, a few. So you have some experience with sheep. I don't. I'm wearing a wool sweater vest today. That's about the extent of my experience with sheep. I have some sweaters. I have some socks that are made from wool. So thank goodness for sheep. Actually, I do have one interaction with a sheep. The church camp that I worked at when I was in college, Aldersgate Camp up in Kentucky, we had a barn and a few animals. We had some goats and some peacocks, and there was a sheep there. Now, I didn't do much with the barn. You know, we had people who were, that was their specialty, what they worked on. But we did like to pull pranks on one another as the staff. And so one prank in particular, we took somebody's T-shirt and put it on the sheep. I don't know if you've ever tried to put a T-shirt on a sheep. It is not easy to do, but it was fun when, you know, when the person woke up the next morning and saw the sheep walking around in their T-shirt, everybody had a good laugh. But sheep, they are complicated animals, but even though most of us don't have a whole lot of experience with sheep, they are the most prevalent animal in the Bible. Sheep and shepherds and flocks are mentioned over 600 times in Scripture. That's a lot, right? Now, there are other animals in the Bible, right? What are some other animals? Let me hear. What are other animals in the Bible? Goats, donkeys, camels, donkeys, oxen, yep. Dogs, snake, yeah, snake plays a prominent role sometimes. What else? Lions, yeah. Snakes, doves, good. Yeah, there are bears that come and maul people. Remember that story? Yeah, there's a donkey that talks. Right, so there's all kinds of cool animals in the Bible, but sheep are mentioned more than any other, over 600 times in the Bible. It's this common image and common metaphor, and the people that the Bible was originally written to would have had a much greater understanding of sheep and the shepherding life than we do. And so it's a bit of a challenge for us sometimes to understand all the metaphors around sheep, at least it is for me, just because I don't live that kind of pastoral life that many of the folks in those days either lived or were familiar with. But what about sheep? There's a book called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Philip Keller is the author. Some of you may have read this book. He grew up in East Africa and was a shepherd for many years and then became a pastor later in life. So he has a unique perspective about what shepherding was like in that area of the world and then how that compares to Christian ministry. I think one day, if I'm here many years, we may do a sermon series on the 23rd Psalm and use that book. But as I refreshed myself looking at this book this week, the thing that struck me about shepherds in general is how simple their life was and how focused it was. How focused it was on taking care of those sheep, that everything they did revolved around caring for those sheep. In our lives, we get distracted by lots of things. We're pulled in many different directions, but my sense, and I probably have a too rosy a view of what a shepherd's life was like, but it seems very simple and focused. They have one thing to do, one thing to care for, one thing to make sure that they're doing, and that, to me at least, sounds kind of refreshing. So let's think a little bit about what life must have been like for those shepherds in first century Palestine. So again, shepherding was a pretty simple life, and often it was passed from generation to generation. We think of lots of different people in the Bible who were shepherds. David is perhaps the most prominent example, Abraham and others. But it often was passed from parents to children and on down the line. And so you would learn to be a shepherd from a very young age. You would learn what it is what sheep need, what they want, where they go, where they eat, all that kind of stuff. And you would learn the places to take them. You would learn the good watering holes to take your sheep to. You would learn where the grass is growing well in particular times of year to go to. You would know, based on the season, what place to go to. And so I imagine these shepherds that the angel appeared to, they were just kind of in their normal routine, right? Day in and day out was probably pretty similar. Season after season, they would travel from one place to another, but every year kind of looked the same. And so even though things were in turmoil in their land, it was occupied by the Roman Empire, life for them, it didn't much matter who was occupying, who was in charge. Every day was just kind of the same. They just kept their head down, and they took care of their sheep, and they lived day after day after day. But one day, that changed. One day, their routine was interrupted. It was nighttime. Now, we don't know what time of year, but often they would sleep out under the stars if it was warm enough with their sheep. And that's what I imagine was happening this night. It was dark. The stars were twinkling in the sky. The sheep were calming down. Some of them sleep, some getting ready to sleep. Shepherds are probably sitting around a campfire, maybe eating dinner or singing songs. Maybe some are already asleep. Something they would do pretty much every night. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to them. This bright light of God's glory shines into this dark place that they were at. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid." You can bet that they were afraid, right? So those are good words. My son James, he's way into hiding behind things and jumping out and saying boo. If y'all haven't noticed, he will probably do it to you at some point. He loves to try to scare you, right? But that's just like being startled, right? But the angel, this bright light, I would imagine it's more than just startling to the shepherds. I imagine they were actually really afraid because they don't know what's going on. They don't know what this light means. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know what any of this means. But the angel reassures them and says, "Do not be afraid. I have some good news to share with you. This thing that you've been waiting for, the Messiah that was promised so long ago, he has arrived. He's been born." I think it's hard for us to imagine what it would be like to wait for a Messiah like the people of Israel were. About the closest analogy I can come up with, and it's a poor one, is the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series, right? It was 108 years that Chicago Cubs fans waited. Every year they would say, "Oh, there's always next year," right? Every year for 108 years. That's what fans of the Cubs said. And ta-da, this year they won the World Series, right? So it's a little bit like that, but you know, that analogy falls way short. Of the hopes and the dreams of an entire nation and people resting and waiting for this thing to happen. For the Messiah, the one who was to save them and deliver them and change the whole world to come. Waiting and longing and hoping for that day. And the shepherds were the first ones to find out about it. Why did God choose the shepherds of all people to announce this great and glorious news to? I think there are lots of reasons, but I want to lift up two of those this morning. The first is the simple kind of life that the shepherds lived, a focused life, a life that wasn't so crowded with all these other distractions. In this season of Advent, a season of longing and hoping and expectation, part of what I long for is simplicity. Part of what I hope for in my life is that things would get less complicated than they are. This time of year is probably the most stressful and busy time of the entire year, right? We're running around trying to buy presents for everybody and going to all the parties and sending out cards, and there's all the end of the year stuff, and it's just a busy, busy time. And yet often we wear this busyness as a badge of honor, don't we? Somebody asks how you're doing, and you're saying, oh, I'm busy. And you say it as a good thing, right? When we're busy, for some reason we think that makes us important or significant, that it's really good that we're busy because, you know, we're in demand, we're in need, we have people who care about us, we have things we need to do, we are important. Yet I'm not sure that's what busyness really means. I don't think just because we're busy means we're important. Of course we are important. We are children of God. That's where we find our importance, not in all this stuff that we have to do. How many of you went shopping on Black Friday? Anybody? A few folks? Oh, that's the worst day of the year. I went a few years ago. The church I was serving, we needed a new computer. And that's the best day to get a new computer, right? All these sales. So I go out, and it's just insane out there. People, you know, you can't find a parking spot, and when you do, somebody pulls in there ahead of you, and people elbowing each other. And every year, people get trampled on Black Friday, right? I mean, that there's just such a rush to get in and find these sales and everything. Oh, how I long to just leave all of that kind of stuff behind. To clear out all that chaos, to clear out all that clutter, and just have a life that is more simple, a life that is more focused on what really matters. And I think that's what we can see in the shepherds. A life that is simple, a life that is focused on caring for the sheep that they've been entrusted to care for. What if we were able to do that? To have lives that were more simple and to focus on what really matters. Caring for those who are in our trust and care. Second thing, and last thing about the shepherds, is this phrase that they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. I love that little phrase, keeping watch. It's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? Keeping is this very active thing, but watch seems kind of passive. And so what does it mean to put these two words together that in some ways oppose each other? Keeping watch. In a lot of ways, that's the kind of life we are called to as people of faith. We're called to do things, certainly, to go out into the world and make a difference, to share God's love and God's grace with others. But we're not just called to do, we're also called to be people of faith, to be children of God, to be the ones whose hearts and lives have been transformed by the love and grace of God. Our worth and our value is not found in our doing, yet we are called to that doing. Our worth and value is found in our being as children of God. And yet we cannot be content just to be. We must also do. We must be like those shepherds, keeping and watching at the same time. So what is it in your life over which you need to keep watch? What are the sheep in your life that you need to keep watch over? What are the things that are most important to you? Who are the people who matter most that God is calling you to keep watch over? It's in the midst of that keeping watch that God's light and love breaks in and announces this great and glorious news that the love of God is coming into the world. So friends, let us give thanks for the example of the shepherds. Let us seek to simplify our lives as the shepherds did, to focus on the main thing, and indeed to keep watch, to watch over one another in love. Amen.